Blog Talk Radio.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this 13th day of June 2019. I hope you had a great night's sleep and your day is up and running and you're ready to go. I cannot get away from what God told us on the 31st of December, going into the 1st as we gather together, that this was a time to feed the flock of God. To guard the flock, to feed the flock, and we want to do that today. Sincerely want to make sure that God's people are inspired, encouraged, built up, edified, ready to go, and that the message that is being taught is a message that is bringing about a renewing of the mind to produce a transformation of the heart so that the individual can be conformed into the image of the firstborn son. We say that a lot, but can you imagine the fulfillment of such a destiny? I mean, arriving at your true destiny is imperative. We are going to talk about the seven heads and the ten horns today. We are going to communicate the seven systems of the beast so that we can understand what time it is and what's really going on. But right before we do that today, I want to share out of the book of Romans chapter 8 of the true destiny of every believer in Yeshua, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true destiny of every believer. This is not excluding anyone that has faith in Yeshua, Jesus Christ. If you're a true believer, you need to know your destination. And I can almost guarantee you that the larger part of Christians today believe that their destination is heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, heaven, I do not believe the scriptures teach, is our destination. There is another destiny. There is another destination for the true believer in Jesus Christ. And I want to get into that today in Romans chapter 8 and feed the flock of God. That's what the Lord said around 4 o'clock this morning. Feed the flock of God. Feed my flock. And before I do Romans chapter 8, I want to say thank you to a dear friend in Southern California who sent a check for $250 to take care of our bills this month on the Omega Radio Network. Thank you so much. If you're tuning in today or listening by archive, you know who you are. You have blessed us. And a dear friend in Michigan who also sent a $50 donation. We are so thankful for the Omega Radio listening audience that is supplying the need for the Omega Radio Network. So God bless you. And for everyone else that has given to the Omega Radio Network, the Omega Radio Ministry, this work that we do over the airwaves on the internet radio station, thank you. May God bless you. May God multiply your seed sown. May He increase the fruits of your righteousness. May God grant you opportunities to share the testimonies of His good work in your life. This is our prayer, and only God can do that. It's between you and Him. But I know when you partner with a ministry and you supply the need and support it in your prayers, in your finances, that God will bless you. I mean, it's a law. It's simply a law. You reap, you sow. You sow, you reap. It's a law. It's a law as much as gravity is a law. Give and you shall receive. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing shall men give into your bosom. It is still a kingdom principle, even after thousands of years of having that message available to us. It is the greatest way to your blessing and prosperity. And thank you so much for considering this work to be a godly work, that this is a God work. It's not just a man-made thing that's going on, and we are so thankful for that, and thank you for your confidence in us that you would supply that need. And if you ever desire to supply that need and you're out there and you want to support the ministry financially, you can go to our website at www.omegaradio.org, and you'll see a donate tab, and all you do is say, here you go. This is for the work of the Lord. And by the way, I'm going to share something with you probably next week, and then I still owe somewhat of an explanation from last week when we were preparing for Pentecost. I was sharing that God had given me a message directly to New Wine Ministries here in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm going to share that. It's putting it all together. I did release it over the weekend, and I wanted to share it with our listeners today that are connected to this ministry so you can know what God is doing at the church of New Wine Ministries, and so we'll get ready to do that as well. So again, thank you for your support, and we will share a little bit about the word that we gave directly to New Wine Ministries, and then we're going to get into the seven heads, or the seven systems of the beast is what we're understanding at this time. I think it's going to be very important for you and I. But before we do, let me just remind you of your destination, okay? And I want to begin in Romans chapter 8. And I want to begin in verse 18, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I want you to just consider deeply how Paul is beginning this part of his writing, and he's telling the believer who he just called an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He went through a lot of conversation in the first 17 verses of chapter 8. He's been writing this incredible letter to the church at Rome. And now he says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, all right? Do you have an earnest expectation? Are you the creature? I believe you are. I think he has you in mind here. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What does that mean? I love this. I mean, I could spend all day on this one. I love this conversation. And let me just give you a small take on it as we're moving towards the destiny of the believer, okay? And so if we're going to look at this, first let's look at the word expectation, all right? For the earnest expectation. That word is the apokaradokia, okay? That's really named, but it means anxious and persistent. You know the Bible says be anxious for nothing? Well, here's an anxiousness that is permissible. It is, watch this, intense anticipation. Now, let's put this together. The word expectation, verse 19, for the earnest, all right? So this is not just expectation, but the earnest expectation of the creature. So the intense anticipation of the creature. Now, what creature is he referring to? I've heard people tell me that the creature was the animals or humankind in general or the trees, the terra firma. I've heard that. I understand that. But I believe that the creature referred to in this verse, and as we go through it, you'll see why I believe that. For the earnest expectation, the intense anticipation of the creature. I believe the creature spoken of here is the new creature, the new creation. Bible says if any man be in Christ Jesus, he and she, new creature. All right, so I believe that the intense anticipation of the new creation, the new man, the pneuma man on the inside of us, I don't believe that my neighbor that's an antichrist, or I'm not saying my neighbor's an antichrist. I'm just saying I don't believe that the general humanity that hates God and has no interest in the things of God have anything inside of them of an intense anticipation for something concerning God. It's particularly this. What? The intense anticipation of the creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, the unredeemed are not waiting for that. Most of the people in the church don't even know what that means, but somewhere inside of a born-again person where the new creation has been born again, the new species has been born again, well, we have this new creation on the inside of us, and yet we're still in our physical bodies, and we're still working out our salvation, and we're still going through the process, right? So we have this treasure of Christ in us. We have this treasure of being born again, a new nature within us that has an intense anticipation for, it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I really have that to you. I'm waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the huios of God, the mature sons of God, right? Well, verse 20 goes on to say, for the creature, this new creation species on the inside of us, was made subject to vanity. That's right. Inside of us, the greatest treasure in the universe, which is Christ, the new creature, the new species, the eternal life man, it's been made subject to vanity. In other words, it's put in this earthen vessel of clay and decay and corruption and defilement. It's been made subject to vanity. It's being produced inside of our earthen vessel. And it says, not willingly, it's not my new creation species' desire or willingness to be there, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So I have a hope on the inside of me. You have a hope on the inside of you. And basically, what this is saying as we go through, that the new creation inside of you, the new creation inside of me, the born-again, divine-natured man inside, the new creature species in us, is basically standing on its tiptoes, stretching out its neck, looking over the fence or over the wall of our humanity, longing to be released. Okay? So the intense anticipation, the hope that is inside of us, the new creature, the born-again person, is seeking for that release in hope. Now, verse 21 says, because the creature itself, the new creation, the new creature, the new man in us, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, hallelujah. The bondage it's talking about, the corruption, is the house that it's in right now. I mean, we are tabernacled. We are living in a fallen human race, physical, solical concept, if you will. And yet, with the hope and the intense anticipation for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, are you not waiting for the manifestation of the full-blown sonship to be alive in you? Are you not coming to sonship, or are you waiting for something outside of yourself to come? It's not looking for the Son of God. The intense anticipation is for the sons, the plurality, the sons of God. Now, who are these sons of God? Well, if you're born again, you are the children of God. But now you are not a huios, you are a technon, a little child, a little baby, immature. But God is growing you up to become a huios. Jesus was a huios. Okay, now, you have an intense anticipation. You have a hope on the inside of you. You are going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now look in at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Well, wait, what whole creation? I believe this is referring to the whole creation of the new species. Everything is longing, but not my unredeemed neighbor, not my unredeemed, workers in the workplace. They're not groaning and travailing in pain. Now, what is groaning and travailing? It's about a birth. Normally, when you hear about travail and groan, you're talking about a woman in travail, someone that's giving birth. And I want you to know that I believe the Word of God says that you are giving birth. Whether you're a male or a female, there's something on the inside of you that is longing to be birthed. And you, in your new creation, in the mind of Christ, are longing for the birthing of what? The new creation on the inside of you. So, for we know, Paul said, that the whole creation of the new species groans and travails in pain together until now. And then he says, and not only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So Paul's now saying, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now that may refer to, and I got to get to my point quicker here, I'm taking too much time, but that may refer, when it says we know the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, that may have some indication of the whole creation that God has created. So I don't want to argue that point, but I want to definitely get to this. Not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Wow. So if you're groaning, if you're travailing, if you have an intense anticipation for what? To go to heaven? Not once did Paul say that this was to go to heaven. There is no intense anticipation. I just want to go to heaven. No. Heaven is somewhat of a geographical, dimensional reality. Don't get me wrong. But this whole conversation here is about a deliverance from bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. There's a desire of those that have the first fruits of the Spirit groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the redemption of our body. Hallelujah. Our very bodies are going to be redeemed, right? Now, here we go. Let's go a little bit quicker. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, what are we waiting for? The manifestation of sonship within ourselves. The new creation to grow up. How long have you been born again? How long has the seed of Christ been planted in the good soil of your heart? How many years have gone by? Have you been cultivating, developing, nurturing the new species on the inside? That's what this is all about. The Holy Spirit has been given to help us, enable us, guide us into the process of growing us up. Everything is about growing up, not in the natural, but in the spiritual. Not in the solical, but in the spiritual. In the DNA of the new creation. And now, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. There it is, the Holy Spirit, helping our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, that only fits into the context when you talk about praying for the manifestation, praying for the growing up, praying for that intense anticipation coming to pass. Everything that the prayer would be geared towards that end, right? Verse 27, he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What is the will of God? That we would grow up, that we would manifest forth the glory of that divine nature that's on the inside of us, that we would become the manifested sons of God. Verse 28, here's the destiny. Here's the destiny. Your destiny is tied into this verse. If you're a believer, here it is. If Christ be in you, if you're born again, here it is. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, watch, according to purpose. Uh-oh, we're talking about purpose now. We're going to talk about destiny. But I want you to know that the Bible says all things are going to work together for your good because you love God. And you are called according to purpose. Now watch 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Destination. Destiny. Wait a second. Look at this. For whom he did foreknow, did he foreknow you? Well, in just a moment, you're going to find out, yes, if you're born again. So for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So God has he's already predestinated the purpose of God, has predestinated you. You have a destination already planned out before you ever knew God, because God foreknew you before the foundation of the world. And God already predestinated you. He already knows your destination. And what is it? Where is it? Well, here it is. Verse 29 again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. What? You have been predestinated by God, who has purposed it to be so in his foreknowledge of who you are. He has predestinated you and I to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, the son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. What? Come on, folks. He didn't predestinate us to go to heaven. God doesn't want to just populate heaven with a bunch of people. His destiny in your life since the day you believed, you see, God already knew this about you. God already knew this about me. God already knew this about everybody that is genuinely turned to Christ for salvation, regardless of their color, their gender, their past sins. None of that matters. When we come to him, he already had a destination in mind for that individual. You don't have to be rich. to be conformed into the image of Christ. You don't have to be poor to be conformed into the image of Christ. You don't have to be white, black, red, yellow, green, speak Spanish, English, or what other language in the world. You don't have to be anything. When a person comes to God through the reconciliatory work of Christ, God has already foreknown that they would, and he's already purposed in his heart to predestinate them to be conformed to the image of his Son, and that is what God desires more than anything for you and I. Someone shout hallelujah. Why? Well, here we go. Watch this. He's got a purpose. Jesus is the firstborn son. He just said it. And he's wanting many sons. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate. Have you been predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son? Yes. Now, you who he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, here you are walking on planet Earth, however many years ago. I'm sorry for taking so long. So many years ago, you're walking on planet Earth. You don't have a clue. You think you know God, you got your concepts, blah, 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 right? But you've never encountered the living God. And all of a sudden, Christ knocks on the door of your heart. You open the door, he comes in, and you answer the call. So without God going through the process of calling you into his purpose, into his destiny, he's already got it lined up for you, but he calls you into it. And you say, yes, I want to go. And now you are called into the eternal purpose of God, and he already has foreknown you and predestinated you. And so now the journey begins because God has knocked upon the door of your heart. You've answered the call. Then it says, those that he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Now, what does it mean to be justified? God, when you answer the call through the blood of Christ, he justified you, meaning just as though you never sinned. In other words, there's no way, listen carefully, please, there's no way God can bring you into his predestined purpose of being conformed into the image of his Son without you experiencing the forgiveness and the liberty and the freedom from everything you've ever done against God. When he justifies you, he does it completely. And the blood of Christ and the cross of Calvary is God's mechanism, his tool, to legally justify you and to treat you as one that has never sinned before. Now imagine that. You answered the call, God justified you and receives you and accepts you just like you've never sinned before. Every sin you've ever committed is under the blood, as far as the east is from the west, buried in the sea. Hallelujah. This is what God does. He has to do that. Because if you're trying to cooperate with God or me with guilt, shame, condemnation, there's no way that God can bring us to our destination, which is to be conformed into the image of his Son. Nobody that remains guilty, ashamed, or condemned is going to be able to move along in the process. And so he's called us, he's justified us, and then it says, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And the glorification is the becoming of the sons of God. Now, this is an amazing thing. And you say, well, yeah, okay, I received the justification, then it bounces right to glorification. But there's one more thing that Thessalonians talks about right in between what you may be dealing with. See, when you came to Christ, all your sins were forgiven. But then you journey, there's a work called sanctification. Now, during the time of sanctification is not a time for you to go back into guilt, shame, and condemnation. It's a time of growing up. It's shifting out of the natural man to the spiritual man, from the old man to the new man. Now, I want you to know, with everything going on in the world today, the beast, the seven heads, the 10 horns, all that's going on in the world today, there's nothing going on in the world as powerful, valuable than what's going on inside of you. Good morning, Patricia. I had no idea I was going to spend that much time.
Well, that is a beautiful thing to spend time on, to become the manifested sons of God. What else could be more glorious than that?
I don't think there's anything more glorious. And to think that God is concentrating, focusing, he's employing his angels, his Holy Spirit, his word to our lives, the revelation of the blood of Jesus that is speaking on our behalf, not guilty. All of these things, you see, but a lot of people stop right there at justification. They go, okay, I'm forgiven for my sins. Now I'm going to live my best life now or do the best I can in life now, and then I'm going to go to heaven. But that's not the purpose. Every single moment of every single day, the Holy Spirit is working out in us to produce that manifestation of sonship, which is being conformed into the image of his son. And remember, Jesus was the express image of the Father. I mean, what a work is God doing on the inside of you and I and all who believe.
His plan has always been incredible from the very foundations of the earth. When the tree of life was in the center of the Garden of Eden, meaning there will never be death. They who believed God and lived according to his system had lived forever if they would so not turn away from him, but they did.
And you know why people turn away from God, Patricia? It's because of the sanctification process.
That's
we
right.
saw being called, we saw being justified, we see being glorified, which is the end of the end of all things, which is being conformed into his image. But that one place called sanctification, which is all throughout the New Testament, which is the process of separating ourselves from everything that is worldly, carnal, demonic, fleshly, and all of these things. So a lot of people have a difficult time enduring the process of sanctification. They are forgiven for everything they've ever done, but when they move forward and they commit a sin, they confess their sin. But you know, sometimes that human nature, that demonic, gets really intense. They find themselves going through the fire. They find themselves going through all kinds of experiences, and that's where people will give up. But God doesn't give up. God's not looking at what's going on in this process. God sees the finished work, and all we need to do is keep our faith and trust in him and continue to follow him, and he's going to bring us to that destination.
Well, the reason it's so difficult is because people have to give up their selfishness, their self-desires, and that is where the enemy stance comes in, because he is total self and pride. And pride would continue to work hard within every individual unless they're truly sanctified. And justification is getting that possibility to be sanctified. The deception in it is that if I don't have everything I want, then my life will not be happy, not realizing that giving up self will bring them the greatest joy and happiness. But Satan is there to deceive. And that's who we're hurtling fast toward, where he is taking over the nations.
Now you go back to Romans chapter 8. And what I want to get across to every person listening right now, maybe you're in a hospital, maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer, maybe you're going through a relational disruption, maybe you're in a, you know, you're just experiencing affliction. Well, number one, God will deliver you from all your afflictions and inflictions. But even in it right now, if you truly are born again, there is a deep, abiding hope on the inside of you. And that hope is for this. You see, you don't have to be, let me say it this way. Paul the Apostle was shipwrecked, beaten in prison, but he still was going through the transformation in order to be conformed into the image. The form that is being formed, the character that is being formed, is taking place inside of your spirit. It has nothing to do with what you're going through on this earth. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. The spirit is going to take over the soul that has been inundated from, actually bloodline curses, familiar spirits, and then your own sin nature. And now we are being processed to be sons of God.
And that process, again, is the hope that we all have, regardless of what things look like at the moment, is that there's going to be a liberty from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This new creation is so desired. I don't know about you, but don't you want to be like Jesus walking on this earth, doing what Jesus did, even greater works than he did in truth? Well, that is the one that's growing up on the inside of us. And that one wants to reach out beyond my flesh and my weakness and my humanity, beyond the veil of my own humanity, into reality right here, right now, to manifest the glory of Christ in us and to do the works that Jesus did.
I want to clarify that humanity that the Holy Spirit wants to push out over and through to become transformed into that perfect, wonderful image of Christ, which he said he gave us opportunity to do so when he sent the Holy Spirit to men. And that is so simple. Stop being selfish. Stop being self-centered. Give up what you desire, what you want, for the benefit of others. Now, that is where the road makes its crossing. It gets very narrow at that point. Wide is the road to destruction, but very narrow to the point of giving up your own selfish desires for the love within your heart for another. That's it.
Now,
that's true love.
That's true love. Let me ask you this question. You've given birth, okay? And in your childbearing, I can't imagine a woman, because it talks about a creation groaning and travailing. When you were in the intense labor, when you were giving birth to your children, there was intense travail going on. Did you, during that time, have a hope that this is going to pass? I'm going to bring forth a life into this world. And I don't know if you could speak directly. It's been a while, but I would imagine every woman has a hope that they're not going to stay in that condition of travail, but they're laboring to bring forth, and that's what you're talking about, dying to self.
Yes.
We're dying, you're groaning, you're travailing, you're not allowing your flesh to have its way, and because you're hoping that something's going to be birthed in this new creation. Do you remember giving birth?
Oh, do I ever. The pain is so excruciating. Most men don't realize how difficult it really is. But your hope is, get me out of this pain, and I've had to, or I won't live.
But did you have a hope that you were going to bring something forth beautiful into the world?
Well, you know, at that point, you knew that prior. You were ready to give birth to something quite wonderful in your life. But once you're in that agonizing pain, all you can think of is, get me out of this. Give birth to that child now.
Well, that's exactly the condition, and probably much more, to where we are going in the world in these last days and these end times. Each one of us are going to have to go through that travailing time. And we're going through that birthing season. We've got to bring forth what is inside of us, and it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. I mean, it always involves our cooperation.
Well, we better do so if we're going to get through this beast system.
Now,
we better do it.
Let me ask you this. When you were fully pregnant, right, and there you are, you're bursting now. When that pain started, did you want to quit and say, I don't want to give birth to this, I can't do this right now? Or were you forced by nature itself?
You were forced by nature itself.
And so God is going to bring forth his sons, isn't he?
He is going to do it.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is wonderful. Well, we've been at this for a while this morning, and I just felt like we needed to genuinely get out there and feed the flock of God today and talk about the real destination of being born again. But now, Patricia, I think what we need to do, while keeping that in mind, we need to understand the environment around us. As we are a ecclesia, a church all over the world of men and women that are impregnated, we've been pregnated with a seed. That seed is Christ. It's in the good soil of our heart. It's going to take the natural course of the spiritual natural, that is, and it's going to do its thing. But we're now in an environment where the enemy would like to abort many babies. He would like to cut off the birthing of many Christians. He would like to kill the life that is in us. And the design is the wrath of the dragon to bring forth enough pressure to call people to turn away and to turn back, to apostatize. And we now need to learn and get acquainted with the only can do on the inside of us. A lot of people want the can-do, the dunamis power to, you know, raise somebody from the dead, which is really cool. But I think we need the can-do to be able to endure to the end of the journey that we are on right now. And that's where we need to employ and exercise that spiritual power in our lives. How do we get there?
Well, you know, Satan and his legions could not communicate and overrun human society until the telegraph was invented. And next, the radio, and then the final link, the television and internet and the computer. So here we are. We're there. And he is ready to burst forth. He's got communication going for him, broadcast systems, evoked images in the people that they want to provoke and bring down their stability in Christ. And it's Satan's way of responding. And he's the Lord of the air. And we heard it how often. And so now it's being done. And Jesus is using it to divide the wheat from the tares. I mean, this is happening right this moment. And we want to become those wonderful sons of God. We are working toward that. But in the meantime, we're being seduced with illusions of every kind because of technology.
So let me just interject a thought right now. The Holy Spirit is the one that has been commissioned to bring forth.
Yes.
I really believe that. And our responsibility is to be led by the Holy Spirit, okay, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Holy Spirit. And as we keep our eyes on the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into this destination that we were just talking about. The adversary and the distractions of the world are distracting many people, getting our focus off of the Word of God, getting our focus off the leading of the Holy Spirit, not hearing his voice, because there's a heavy darkness coming that is causing people not to be able to hear, not be able to see, not be able to understand.
That's right.
And yet we are spending time every day in the Word of God for years to try to keep ourselves above the perdition that is coming upon the earth, where men are going to drown because they're no longer going to have a foundation to stand on because something has caused them to depart from the Word of God. And we cannot allow that to happen.
Well, you know, Christians are trying to teach their children, their friends, their family the right way. You know, they're trying the best they could. But we've got a situation right now that in the schools, they're being brainwashed by the culture of Marxism. And this thing is going on. We're trying our best in every way we can, but technology is making it almost impossible to fight against. And this is where the battle is coming in. And this is where the mark of the beast comes in, because the mark of the beast takes over, and it takes over by ruling our children, our lives, and all the nations of the world. You know, you talk about Karl Marx. Karl was directed by Satan to stop Christianity. That's what it's all about. Marxists needed a way to stop Christianity in America, so they created, you know, the various schools of teaching cultural Marxism, and they're teaching in the United States of America since about 1950. We're dealing with these kinds of beast systems, and they're part of the beast system.
Well, amen to that. And so the global elites have been for decades working assiduously to create a world government. The goal is a global governing system. So all inclusive and minutely detailed, it will control all aspects of every person's life. The intention is to eventually regulate all individual production and consumption patterns with the ultimate objective of thought manipulation, resulting in absolute obedience and allegiance. Now, Patricia, the outcome of these efforts is the formation of international institutions specifically designed to govern the world. Now, these include many recognizable organizations such as the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund, the International Criminal Court, the World Bank, the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, just to name a few. So when we look at this beast with the seven heads and the 10 horns, we are considering the possibility of those seven heads of power to be seven systems that will control the whole world, and then the 10 kings that will be overseeing this. And it's all one beast. It is the beast, but the beast has a system. It's in government. It's in every imaginable thing. It's in banking. It's in the entertainment. It's in media. It's everywhere. And it's being controlled by an antichrist spirit purposed to destroy faith in God and Jesus Christ, or to pervert the gospel so terribly and our understanding of God that we will eventually abandon the true God. This is happening, and our minds alone will not be able to resist it. The only way is to have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit truth on the inside of us to guide us.
Well, we're up against the power of the beast, as he's already in the UN. We're already being, let's say, propagandized, because the UN has gained both troops. They have their own troops now and power, and they have many heads, NATO, the World Bank system, and others, and we're there. Listen, we are there, and that's why spiritual warfare is an absolute necessity, because we will be fighting earth warfare. It's the difference between the evil and good, the spirit of darkness and the spirit of light. We're there, and we must become those manifested sons of God. We must become the overcomers. We must be part of the true army.
Amen to that. And Patricia, as you're talking about this, I want to read out of this most magnificent book that was handed to me several years ago. It was written by a woman by the name of Joanne Vion. The name of the book is The United Nations Global Straitjacket. And on page 109 and 110, let me just get this out there. She said, lastly, the UN states that they are working for world peace. Peace to the UN means no opposition to their agenda. John Cecil Rhodes left his fortune to find a way to bring America back under Britain. His trustees came up with the concept of a League of Nations. When our Senate refused to go along with this idea, America experienced a crash in 1929 and the Second World War. In 1945, our Senate ratified the UN Charter. In my opinion, when the UN Charter was ratified is when the world officially entered world government and America reverted back to British rule. And then she says, the American people have been told that the United Nations was born out of two world wars and a desire for peace. We have also been told that the United Nations is a forum for countries to discuss their differences. However, to the unsuspecting eye, the UN has become more than just a forum for discussion. One only has to study the UN organizational chart that follows to see that it has a distinct governmental structure. The United Nations has set global policy for all countries to follow. The agreements coming out of the UN General Assembly become international legal code, which transcends national law. The UN structure is quite vast, comprising the same kind of commissions, agencies, and committees as you would find in any national government. Every member state contributes annual dues based on a very complicated formula, which takes into consideration the wealth, income, economic power, and population, to name a few components, of a country. Each country has an ambassador appointed to handle its affairs and to vote at the UN. In the United States, the UN ambassador and other liaisons to the United Nations are housed at the Department of State. The United States has been the largest contributor to the United Nations by way of dues, appropriations, and payments. Lastly, the United Nations has its own army composed of troops from all of its member states. So what is the United Nations? To answer that, we must consider what governments are and what a treaty is. And according to Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the American Language, government is, and I quote, the exercise of authority, direction, and restraint exercised over the actions of men in communities, societies, or states, the administration of public affairs according to established constitutions, laws, or usages by arbitrary edicts. Wow. And then this book goes on. This is a 500-page book on one of the most intelligent, insightful persons that were studying this in the 1990s, going to these UN meetings. Patricia, there's no doubt in my mind that the UN is at the very top of this beast system, and the systems, from their criminal court system to their military system, their financial system, all commerce, all of it is at the helm of this thing.
Yes, it'll be ruled from the UN. It will be the seat of the beast. And the wild beast, remember, has seven heads. That's introduced in Revelation 13:1. And it does represent the worldwide political system. It'll have authority, it'll have power, and a throne, which point to its being a political entity. And you can see that in Revelation 13:2. It will rule over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. So it is greater than a single national government. It's going to rule over the world. And we're coming there swiftly and fast. You can find that in Revelation 13:7. And it combines features of the four beasts that are described in the prophecy in Daniel, which I love that book, Daniel 7:2-8, including the appearance of a leopard, the feet of a bear, you've heard this before, a lion's mouth and 10 horns. And the beasts in Daniel's prophecy are identified as specific kings or political kingdoms that rule in succession over empires. So the wild beast in Revelation chapter 13 represents a composite of political organizations, just like you said, and it's here.
Wow, and every kingdom has its systems. I mean, every United States has all of its systems.
And may I add that this is what our president is trying to fight against on his own. That's why he needs us backing him. He's trying to fight against this beast system and help us to be the nationalist we used to be and continue in that way.
Well, you know, unfortunately, you only have so many years to get things done, and our sight is heightened, and we're looking for King Jesus to come and bring his kingdom onto this earth, and hopefully all these things that are happening, these wars that are happening, thank God Hillary Clinton is not the president of the United States. We thank God for that. We thank God that Donald Trump is at the helm. We pray for that man. We have a few minutes. If you're out there, you're hearing this conversation, maybe you have a question, maybe you have a comment, maybe you'd like to share in something that you're thinking about. The number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. And if, by chance, anybody is getting our morning texts, you're getting more than one text. That means you're on different groups. And the only way to stop that is to just go to your phone, ask your provider, how do I block a caller? And if you block the caller, you will not receive any texts that you do not desire. All right. So what we are doing here today is we're going to continue digging like miners into the dirt and rock to find the gold of understanding, the treasure of wisdom about this beast. And there are two beasts in Revelation chapter 13, but I believe it's super important that we have an understanding from the Holy Spirit what we're dealing with so that we could be more prepared. And Patricia, the more we talk about this, the more I believe that we just have to have that sentence of death within ourselves, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have to find that heartbeat that regardless, I will not take the mark of the beast. O King Nebuchadnezzar, I will not bow down, and we will even go into that fiery furnace if need be, but we're not going to bow down to your edict.
Well, it's going to be very difficult for many Christians because in this nation, we have had so much and we want to keep what we have. And that's the natural way, I know. But it is going to be very difficult. That's why faith in Christ is what we do have. And he will see us through. He said, be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world, the devil, and the evil one. So do not be turning in another direction in having faith. This is a time when you need faith more than you ever had in your whole life, because most are already in the beast system. If you go to a hotel, you're going to have to use your card. They're not going to accept your cash. If you go to the hospital, they're going to want your insurance. They're not going to accept anything other than that for information. We are already locked in. When we go to the store to buy, we use a card. If you have cash, it's very unusual today, and it's becoming more and more unusual. So we are locked in many different manners and way, whether we buy a car, whatever the case may be. We're already situated in this. And if you have an iPhone, you're already hooked there. And they know everything about you. So the beast system is at work in multitudes of ways, even before the nations rise up as one. And when that happens, you are going to know that you're either going to go one way or the other. And if you accept the mark of the beast, which some will, according to the book of Revelation, or wouldn't be in the book of Revelation, it wouldn't be in the Bible, it's talking about Christians. If you make that decision because it makes sense to you and it's the easier way, and by the way, what else could I do, that you will never, ever be saved. So we have to take this very seriously.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just wondering what our listeners are thinking about today and what is on your mind. What are you hearing today? 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the conversation. We got time for one really good call, maybe a couple of calls. 818-369-0326. What did you hear today? You've been with me from the beginning. You've been with Patricia and I. We're talking about the ultimate destination of every true believer. And it is not becoming rich in this world. It is none of that. It's not just going to heaven. The destination is being conformed into the image. That's a life transformation. That's huge. And it's happening at the end of time when we see the signs of the times everywhere. We will remind our listeners that Israel has become a nation within this generation. We will remind our listeners that Daniel said that in the last days, knowledge would increase. Technology is bigger now than ever before in the history of the world. We are seeing large prophetic signs with earthquakes and storms and hurricanes all over the world. We're seeing famine and pestilence and wars and rumors of wars. Everything that God told us to watch out for is happening, not in just a isolated place, but globally. We're seeing the release of the seals. We're seeing Islamic terrorism, which is revealed in the first four seals of Revelation chapter 6, so obviously. So we're in this moment of coming towards, we're moving towards the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And that is the time of the birthing of the sons of God. And this is an amazing time. And we need to have a clear understanding of what our part as a functioning member in the body of Christ is while all this is going on.
Well, you know, we have to look at it too as to what we're involved in so that we understand how to stand strong. May agree right now on a few things. You know, there's different ideas of how they should be ruled and led by their kings. They unite in their determination to maintain their authority rather than to submit to the rule of God's kingdom. And they will also join forces to battle God's armies commanded by Jesus Christ. And that will happen in Armageddon. But this war will result in the nations being destroyed.
Well, absolutely. And again, where are we getting this information from? The Bible.
Absolutely.
You know, the world doesn't like the Bible because the Bible exposes the world to the light. We have to be a people that love light. We have to understand that God is shedding light on our understanding so that we can be prepared and equipped for the days that lie ahead. In the interim, you may as well rejoice with a hope on the inside of you. You may as well kick up your heels and shout like a redeemed son and daughter of God and understand that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You may as well lift up your hands and shout into heaven, hallelujah. You may as well get up and run your race today, knowing that you're more than a conqueror. And right now, if you want to join the roundtable discussion over at omegaradio.org, they're talking today about, again, the spirit of iniquity. We want to encourage you to go there right now. And for me and Patricia, we're going to say goodbye. Lord willing, we'll see you next week, Monday. Until then, be blessed. Here is the roundtable discussion on the Omega Radio Network. Goodbye, Blog Talk Radio friends.